Why don't we do our Monday evening quarterback? Because we got to complain about pretty much everything.
This is it right here. We have any hopes of still pulling this thing out on a fourth down and 10. And it's Cunningham. And he will flip to a teammate. And short of the first down, Grassu took the flip. That was a smart play by Cunningham. What do you have to lose? Turns out they don't get it. And now they lose to somebody other than Favre and Rodgers today and young Brett Hundley.
Tough pill to swallow for Bears fans who, for the first time in modern history, the Bears were favored at Soldier Field to beat the Packers. And once you started watching the Packers play, you kind of knew why. They're a shadow of their one self without Aaron Rodgers behind center, but the Bears could not put it together. They looked shaky, sloppy, disorganized, and all around just underprepared coming off the bye week in a loss to the Green Bay Packers. It drops them to 3-6. And a week that was somewhat stunning because, or a game that was somewhat stunning because it really showed the weaknesses of this Bears team, both on the offense and defense side of the ball, but the coaching most of all. And that's what drove it. I was losing my mind. I think all of Chicago did. And it's easy to pile on about the challenge. They'll be heard around the world, of course, but many, many other things, including personnel and questionable decisions and what we're doing with this Bears team that aimlessly drops another one. Tonight, Monday evening quarterback, 312-981-7200. On the line with us, as he is every Monday night, Adam Hoge. He is with WGN Radio, covers the Bears. You can find out all his great stuff, including his wrap-up, this is one of the best he's written. John Fox flops in most important game as Bears head coach. Couldn't have said it better myself. Adam Hoge, welcome back to the Monday evening quarterback.
Hey, Justin. Yeah, I think this was sort of the defining game for John Fox's tenure in Chicago, and that challenge will probably go down as the defining moment.
Wow, he's 1-5 against the Green Bay Packers. In your article, and you talk about the challenge, of course, people didn't see the game. The Bears were challenging whether or not Benny Cunningham got a touchdown, and instead the challenge revealed that he fumbled the ball and it was a touchback. A huge loss and shouldn't have been challenged because I don't think the Packers were looking at it. No one was looking at it, it looked like. But before that, let's talk about getting prepared. There's so much about preparation in this league and coming off the bye week. Lovie Smith was always really great at getting his team ready for, and he had a great record after the bye. This is not John Fox's specialty.
It's not, and I think you can look at just how sloppy they came out, but I had specific issues with what went into this game plan. The first thing I noticed before the game even started, when I'm watching warm-ups and I'm looking into my binoculars from the press box and I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen at the inside linebacker position with Danny Trevathan out, because they had a few options they could have gone with who takes over the defensive signals at that linebacker position. And it was kind of interesting because Christian Jones has played very, very well. But the last time Danny Trevathan missed a game was against the Minnesota Vikings. That was when he was suspended after that hit he had in Green Bay. And what they did in that game, remember, Nick Kwiatkowski was out. Nick Kwiatkowski was hurt at that point. If you go all the way back to week two, when Jarrell Freeman, who originally had those duties on defense, was out, they gave those responsibilities to Nick Kwiatkowski, second-year player, even though Danny Trevathan was out there. So that showed you the trust that Vic Fangio has in Kwiatkowski. But when he wasn't available in that game against the Vikings, they gave it to John Timu. Part of that is, despite how well Christian Jones has played, that's not his strong suit. Having to relay the calls, he's better if he can just be told what to do and go do it. Right, I think we've learned that about Christian Jones. So when this game before the game even started, and I was looking down at who's got the green dot in the back of their helmet, because for those that don't know, the person that has the headset in their helmet to be able to communicate with the coaches has a green dot. And I saw that Christian Jones had those responsibilities. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. Why would they do that when they had John Timu and Nick Kwiatkowski available for that? And as this game played out, Christian Jones had one of his worst games in weeks. Nick Kwiatkowski actually played very well when he was out there, but
yeah,
he only played
about half
the amount of snaps that Christian Jones did, who was out there full time. I thought that was a very questionable move by Vic Fangio, who, with all this talk about coaching the last few weeks, Vic's been the one no one's criticized. That's how deep these coaching issues ran, and we're going to get into all of it.
Yeah,
and but I even had a problem with Fangio yesterday.
I have to say, it's watching the game play out, and for as conservative the play calling of the Bears' offense was, and we saw the challenge, of course, the Bears' defense, when they needed to stand up and they needed to get a stop, they let the backup quarterback, Hundley, do back shoulder Aaron Rodgers type plays in the fourth quarter when the game was on the line. Not a great showing for this Chicago Bears defense that everybody says is one of the best in the league.
You said it. They couldn't get a stop. It was very, very odd. You know, breaking down this game, I thought that they would miss Trevathan. I changed my prediction 4 points. I still had the Bears winning 17-10 instead of 17-6, which is what I thought it would have been had Trevathan played. So going into this, as we talked about this throughout the week and broke it down, the one constant was the Bears' defense. They've been so consistent, and I just didn't see how the Packers were going to be able to score and move the football in this game without Aaron Rodgers, and yet they somehow did, and it was basically because the Bears could not come up with the big stop. They missed Danny Trevathan, but also Kyle Fuller had one of his worst games in weeks. Prince Amukamara didn't play all that great. It was very, very surprising to see that performance from the Bears' defense.
And you know what else, Adam? What makes the Bears' defense work is getting to the quarterback. And Akeem Hicks, of course, having a tremendous year. But we didn't see that kind of pressure. I mean, we saw some great stuff from the outside linebackers and Leonard Floyd. But it didn't feel like they were dialing it up in the intensity and the pressure to disrupt the Packer defense or offense.
They didn't. When they didn't blitz, they couldn't get pressure. And that you're right. That's been a big difference. I thought Eddie Goldman had a quiet game, and he's been playing very, very well. Akeem Hicks still held his own and was pretty good. But you know what? There were two plays, and this gets back to, you know, the one thing about Vic Fangio's defense is, and we've seen this improve each and every season these last 3 years as he's been in charge. They've been disciplined. You know, way more. Remember when Mel Tucker was in charge during the Mark Trestman era? I know people don't want to think about that. Remember how every single week we would talk about how somebody's not in the right gap, or, you know, no one's doing people just aren't doing their job.
Right.
Well, yesterday that was the problem. Prince Amukamara in the wrong gap on the 37-yard touchdown run that the Packers had with Ty Montgomery, just not in the right spot. That's a veteran.
Is that on the player in the moment, or is that on the scheme, or is that on Christian Jones lining up in the right spot? I mean, what's happening here? Because the announcers called it out, too, where Pernell McPhee stunted and he lost containment on a huge third down, and that Hundley scramble for 20, 25 yards, and he was pointing at Unrein, and Unrein's pointing back. Like, what's happening there? These are all veterans. Why? What's breaking down for them to be in the wrong spot?
Yeah, and I was going to get to those plays too, because I had three big examples. You know, Amukamara took responsibility for that. It's possible there was a communication error, but I think if you look at the replay, he just was not in the right gap, and he needs to be. So he did take responsibility.
This is Montgomery touchdown, right?
Yeah, for that play. But yeah, on that last touchdown drive by the Packers. It happened on two out of three plays there at the end. When the Bears are trying to get a stop, it's third and two. McPhee jumps inside. And for those that don't know, when you're only rushing four, you have to keep contained the outside guys, whether you're talking about a 4-3 or 3-4. It doesn't really matter. Whoever's rushing from the outside of those four rushers, they have to keep contained on the quarterback, whether you're talking about a statue like Peyton Manning or somebody who can run like Brett Hundley. And for some reason, Pernell McPhee jumped inside, and that opened up the entire backside for Brett Hundley to run. And sure enough, he gained, what was it, like 20-something yards and got the first down. And he looked, you brought it up, he looked at Mitch Unrein like maybe Unrein was supposed to come around to the outside, which would have been a stunt, and that would have been fine because they would have had the outside contained. But John Fox confirmed today, and I was actually surprised he did this, he confirmed that there wasn't a stunt there, that Pernell McPhee just jumped inside on the play, and that's just an undisciplined play from a veteran in a key moment. And then guess what? Two plays later, Leonard Floyd did the same exact thing on the touchdown pass. That allowed Hundley to get out, roll out to his right, have more time to throw as he scrambled, and it was a great play by Adams to go straight to the end zone and beat Kyle Fuller, because at that point the play had broken down and he just made a decision to go for the end zone. It was a heads-up play by him, and it was a great pass from Brett Hundley too, so give him credit, but undisciplined play by the defense. That's stuff we have not seen this season.
And the defense didn't take the ball away at all against a backup quarterback who's been having trouble turning the ball over, and there were opportunities where the ball's tipped and up in the air. And once again, it felt like that old Bears defense from earlier in the season or even last season came away where they were just allergic to the ball, especially when you have the opportunities. And it just didn't seem like that unit was ready to play.
Kyle Fuller had a chance, too. He could have had an interception earlier in this game. I had him down for 3 missed tackles in this game. It was by far Kyle Fuller's worst game of the season, and he's been kind of revelation. But I was saying during the bye week, let's hold up off on this extension talk. Let's see what the rest of the season looks like. We're only halfway through this thing. Let's see if he can put together a full season, and this was not a good start to the second
half. Now, Adam,
half for
in
Kyle
your
Fuller.
In watching the film, and you can kind of see it as, you know, the naked eye, but it seems that teams are targeting Kyle Fuller. They have not bought into the hype, and they continue to throw to his side every single play.
Well, part of that is because Prince Amukamara has been playing really well in coverage, and you got to pick one or the other. So they're correctly targeting Kyle Fuller as the weaker link. But yeah, that's been pretty consistent. And I think, you know, part of that is he's still not a very physical, oversized press man corner. And I still think he's better suited in a zone type scheme, which is what the Bears were running when they drafted him, when they were back in a 4-3 defense. And so he's not in the perfect scheme. That doesn't mean he can't play Vic Fangio's defense, but he's not the most physical corner at the line of scrimmage, and I think that's part of the reason why he kind of got to use his recovery speed. And you saw that early in the game when he was able to get in there and knock the ball loose. That's kind of how he has to play because he's not always going to be glued to the wide receivers, and teams know that at this point.
Adam Hoge, of course, covers the Bears for WGN Radio. You can find all his stuff at WGNradio.com/Bears. All right, we'll take a break. We flipped it this week. We do offense, then defense, but we did defense first. We come back. We got to talk about Mitch Trubisky, Dowell Loggins' play calling, and also the personnel that's on the field. Strange choices to see the reemergence of Josh Bellamy as a number 2 wideout who gets all the targets in this game. It's a head-scratcher once again here in Chicago as the Bears fall to 3-6 to the loss of the Packers. Adam Hoge with us, 312-981-7200. Stay with us.
He is now, and this is Bears' debut. He is their leading receiver in this game. That's his 4th catch. And look at this, wide open. And that is a touchdown for Bellamy.
Throwing it on first down, Tom.
That was one of the bright spots of the Bears' loss to the Packers yesterday. Mitch Trubisky hooking up with Josh Bellamy for a big pass play when the Bears needed it most, but still not enough. The Bears fall to the Packers 23-16, find themselves now at 3-6. Adam Hoge on the line, WGN Radio Sports. Of course, find all his great work at WGNradio.com/Bears. Joins us every night for Monday Evening Quarterback. 312-981-7200. If you got questions, thoughts, concerns, timelines for when you'd like to see the Bears coaching staff replaced. That could work. Why don't we start there? Adams, you know, I'm surprised because once again, you talked about it with Vic Fangio about personnel. The offensive side of the ball, same issue. Strange choices and personnel, depth chart moving into this game.
Yeah, I started this by talking about on defense how I was confused about the game plan going in and Christian Jones taking over the responsibilities on defense. But on offense, at some point during the bye week, somebody at Hallis Hall decided that inserting Josh Bellamy back into the offensive game plan was the way to beat the Packers, which is just bizarre to me. Absolutely bizarre. He ends up playing 40 snaps in this game, which was actually third to Kendall Wright and Dontrell Inman, which I was surprised that Kendall Wright actually played more than Bellamy. It didn't seem that way, how much Bellamy was actually targeted. But still, I mean, it was way more than Trey McBride, who put up 100 yards and broke out against the New Orleans Saints a few weeks ago. And coming out of that game, you got a bye week, you're thinking maybe McBride is going to become part of this offense more, and instead they go to Bellamy, who didn't even play that much before they traded for Dontrell Inman, and now you have Inman out there, and you decide to put Bellamy. I don't get it. He's a fast player. He's actually someone who can get open, but he doesn't have good hands, and he's not a very big target. You could see Trubisky kind of struggling to get the ball within Bellamy's catch radius yesterday, and when he did, there was a drop or two. So 7 targets for Bellamy, which is way too many in my opinion, and only 2 catches. It's not at all that surprising that those were the results, although he did have the long touchdown, which we came back out of that break with. And wasn't that play just kind of frustrating, though, because yeah. It's like, why don't you try that more?
Right.
Because
frankly,
a good throw.
He's fast. He's a fast player, but you're telling me Marcus Wheaton can't run a fly route? I mean, it just seemed to me, once again, and I'm glad for the touchdown. I think it was great, but I'm head scratching because at the end of last year, one of the areas that we did not draft for, because we put a lot of money into free agency, was upgrading the wide receiver position. Now, there have been injuries. The number one and the number two are gone. But you know what? It's week 10 in the NFL. There's a lot of number ones and number twos that are gone. The idea at this point is you have serviceable guys. You got Dontrell Inman, who showed up in 6 catches, 88 yards, something like that. But the point being that there are some guys on this roster that you're like, okay, now it's time to see what these guys that you brought in on contracts can do.
But it wasn't even just the Bellamy thing. I mean, Jordan Howard only played one more snap than Benny Cunningham.
Right.
What?
And Tariq Cohen, yeah.
Tariq Cohen only played 13 of 60 snaps. Tariq Cohen, who Dow Loggins has called their most electric playmaker, only on the field for 13 plays. And most of that time, he was just running that decoy ghost action behind the play, those fly sweeps that they weren't even giving him the ball on and really weren't even catching the Packers all that off guard. You know, John Fox was asked today about Tariq Cohen's lack of playing time, and he brought up the fact that opposing defenses have adjusted and kind of taken him out. And then he referenced a play early in the game where Tariq Cohen got doubled, and that actually opened up Kendall Wright to catch a first down pass on third down. Mm-hmm. And so John Fox is using that as an example of why Tariq Cohen is not playing. And in my head, I'm going, John,
wouldn't you put him on the field more then?
Isn't that exactly why he should be playing? Right. Because he's the only player that commands extra attention. That's what you want. That's what good offenses have. When the Bears had Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey was getting open all the time because Brandon Marshall was commanding double teams. And we all saw that every single week. That's what you need on offense to be effective. And the Bears don't have playmakers. You have a guy that is commanding extra attention, and you're not putting him on the field. It makes no sense.
Well, and then you throw in the tight end situation. Adam Shaheen has a big play early in the game, then disappears for the rest. I'm not even sure if he got targeted again. But let's go back to Mitchell Trubisky. He almost gets his best game as a pro by far, doesn't turn the ball over, but takes, what, 5 sacks? And some of those are protection sacks, and some of those are, you kind of feel like his hesitancy that he doesn't want to throw into tight spots. Where are we with Mitchell Trubisky? Because halfway through this game, before he kind of puts on a show in the early fourth quarter, I'm scratching my head going, aren't we better with Matt Barkley at this point? Aren't we better with someone who's going to at least throw the ball on first and second down?
Well, I mean, that's the offensive coordinator holding him back, in my opinion. I thought Trubisky played pretty well. I put 2 of the 5 sacks on him. The first one, he had plenty of protection and was just kind of standing around for a while, never let go of the ball, and then he just got sacked. And then the second one was when he rolled out to the left and had Josh Bellamy there on a naked boot, and he just didn't throw him the ball.
Now, that I want to ask you that question because that was a fascinating play, because it seems to me where his issue is, and I like it as a fan, but he's going to find himself on the ground more often than not, is he doesn't want that 4-yard gain. There was a corner coming up there, and he wants to, let me just hold on and see if I can get it open for the 30-yard gain. And that's not Bear offense. That's something completely different, but that's where he runs into problems, and he's going to have to adjust as a quarterback. But you can't fault him for going, okay, the 4-yarder's open, but I'm looking for something more.
Well, you're right, because I think he saw that corner closing, and he said after the game that Bellamy wasn't actually as open as he looked. And I understand that from the standpoint of, okay, maybe it wasn't going to be a big play. You were hoping he was going to be wide open with plenty of room to run, and they played it pretty well. And you are sort of risking, if the corner's crashing in, that is a very vulnerable position. If he crashes in fast enough and picks the ball off, it's an easy touchdown, because you were backed up at your own end zone. But that being said, he was open enough that you could have dumped the ball off.
He's got to learn to take that 4-yard gain. Yeah,
take what was there, and instead he didn't. And he got sacked, and so it ended up being a loss. So that goes down as a play that was on Trubisky. But, you know, for the most part in this game, I thought he played pretty well. I still think they're holding him back, and I don't understand it. The play calling is just way too predictable at this point. You know, a few weeks ago, I was kind of holding back and trying to give Dow Loggins some leeway here because it was, you know, he had to endure that whole Mike Glennon disaster for four games, and that certainly wasn't his call, and he just had to make do. Then you bring in the rookie, who's obviously pretty raw, and there's not many weapons out there. But to me, the excuses are out the window now. You have Dontrell Inman, who's actually a decent wide receiver. I know it's still not the greatest group in the world, but there's enough out there. Adam Shaheen, you saw he can play. Didn't target him the rest of the game. Didn't try to get him involved. I think they're using him way too much as a blocker right now and not enough as a pass catcher. And why not split him out wide? He seems to have that ability and size to pick up a few yards when you need it on third down. They don't even try that. Tariq Cohen's not on the field. To me, the excuses are out the window now. This is fully on the coaching staff. And in a big game against the Packers, they completely flopped from a coaching perspective. It was just bad.
Yeah, and I have so many questions because it really goes to the, you know, why we watch this sport and, you know, this what we want out of our team when we're football fans. And this is not it. I mean, I understand the concept of John Fox and Dow Loggins and Vic Fangio coming in to right the wrongs of a Mark Trestman era, to change the discipline in a clubhouse, to change the way people react to their coach. Everything about that, I can put some stock into that. But the concept on the field that you're playing a game that John Fox likes to play where he wins 10-7 or 13-10 and he wants the ball in the fourth quarter with 1 minute with personnel that is not right for that, meaning Mitchell Trubisky, who was great in college doing that. You and I talked about even on draft night. But he's a rookie quarterback. More often than not, a rookie quarterback's probably not with no timeouts and 55 seconds left going to drive you to tie the game and get you into an overtime situation. It just seems to me that they're, I don't know. I'm glad that John Fox was brought in to right the wrongs of Mark Trestman, but it's not the right fit for what we possibly could be with the talent that's on the field.
What's frustrating to me is I have the unique benefit of being able to watch OTAs and to watch practices that are otherwise closed to the public. And then even in training camp, the fans that do go down to Bourbonnais see some of this. You know, there were plenty of two-minute drills that they ran in practice back in the summer that looked pretty dynamic with Mitch Trubisky out there. And they're getting in these situations where now in games and it's just not clicking. But I can't really blame Trubisky because the rest of the game, they're not operating in that fashion. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden they're going, oh, it's time to open this thing up. And yet he's getting no other experience doing so. It doesn't allow him to get in a rhythm earlier in the game. So then when all of a sudden it's, oh, we got to go because we need a touchdown here in a minute because the Packers missed a chip shot field goal and you're still in this thing, there's no rhythm. There's not enough experience in that regard. And then that being said, you know, he did deliver a strike to Dontrell Inman on 3rd and 10 and Inman just dropped it. So, but
and wasn't,
you know,
Inman talking? Wasn't he talking game this week, saying I'm here to get the, you know, I want to be the guy that Trubisky throws the ball to in crunch time. I want to be able to catch it for him, and he dropped it.
Yeah, and then
what
the
are you
set.
Doing? Welcome to Chicago, I dude. I don't care how many yards you got. You dropped a third down on the final drive of the game.
Well, he's officially a Bears wide receiver now. You know, the sad thing is he was actually kind of
a great game.
He was turning into that late in the game, and he was being there for Trubisky, and then he just dropped that play, and that's unfortunate because it would have been a big play, and he had some room to run too. But you know, it's just I think the bigger question here, Justin, and they got to figure this out quickly, maybe even this season. How much is this hurting Trubisky's growth? You know, because Jared Goff was in a similar situation last year with Jeff Fisher as his head coach, a conservative, old-school type guy that everyone loves, the culture he instills in the locker room. But offensively, they were a mess, right? And he was being held back, and they didn't put him on the field for half the season, kind of similar to Trubisky until they were absolutely forced to do so. And there were major questions about whether or not Goff was worth the high draft pick, the number one overall pick. And they made a great decision to get rid of Jeff Fisher, which, by the way, they did during the season. Yep. I don't think the Bears will do that. They don't operate that way, but maybe they should if this continues for the next couple weeks. But they made that decision. They bring in Sean McVay, a young, energetic, offensive-minded head coach. They go out. They draft the wide receivers. They sign the wide receivers. They trade for the wide receivers. They get him help. And all of a sudden, the Rams are putting up points that no one thought that they could do. I think they're the number one offense in football right now.
Back to the best, greatest show on turf. They're right back there. Adam Hoge, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break, wrap up, and I want to come back. I want to ask you some bigger ticket item questions about the future of this Bears team at 3-6. Adam Hoge, Monday Evening Quarterback, stay with us.
And he is smothered behind the line of scrimmage by Devon House. And that is the fourth time that Trubisky has been sacked in the game today.
I guess we consider that a highlight. Yesterday's game lost to the Packers. Adam Hoge online, WGNradio.com/Bears. You can find out all his stuff. All right, you know, as we wrap up here, I'm fascinated because it seems more and more I'm having this epiphany where it does not feel like Ryan Pace and John Fox are on the same page. The players that are considered to be the playmakers or the players that were brought in free agency, it seems like the coach and the coaching staff is choosing their favorites, who does best drills or who runs fastest in practice. But it doesn't seem like the two of them are in concert when it comes to putting the best players and the best product on the field.
Well, and let's be clear. I mean, first and foremost, it has to be pretty much centered on Mitch Trubisky, right, and his development. And I don't know how Ryan Pace can sit there and watch what happened yesterday and be pleased with the position his quarterback was put in, whether we're talking the personnel, the play calls, and we've kind of talked about all of that here in this hour. But I go back to what I was just saying before the break. I mean, the Bears have to be very, very careful here. They cannot stunt Mitch Trubisky's growth. I don't know what you can really do this season. It seems to be what it is right now, right? You're not going to bring in a different offensive coordinator and take off now, but you have to use these last seven games to do everything in your power. Maybe Ryan Pace needs to step in and say, hey, look, we need to change something here on offense. We need to open it up a little bit more. And there's a difference between just calling a lot of passes, and Dow Loggins did call a lot. I think he called 40 passes in this game. But it's the type of passes, right? You know, it's taking those shots downfield. Yeah. And when they did, it's a touchdown. The only touchdown of the game. And by the way, the Bears only have two touchdowns in the last 13 quarters. Two offensive touchdowns in the last 13 quarters. That goes all the way back to the game against Baltimore,
it feels,
which was a month ago.
And it feels like you see this, I don't know what it is. Maybe this is the rookie thing where the Bears are having a hard time even coming up with the plays. I mean, I love how ahead of the curve we are in this conversation. We hadn't even talked about the challenge, right? But that's another, yeah. And that's fine because you know what? That's so low hanging fruit and it's so annoying that happened. And it just probably manifests as it means something bigger for the coaching staff than just making that boneheaded play. But what is interesting is that was the closest they hadn't gotten to the end zone yet. I mean, they found themselves down to the Packers and Huntley, who looked out of sorts. And this idea that it was a screen pass to Benny Cunningham in this way that you know, he was able to maneuver himself down to the goal line. You're absolutely right. It just doesn't feel like the Bears' offensive play calling is being done in a way that is utilizing the strengths of the offensive players.
But again, it's kind of frustrating because I actually like Benny Cunningham, and I think he is he's a great special teamer, and he's a good third down back because he can pick up blitzes. But that doesn't mean he has to be out there as much as he was. But I actually like that play call because it kind of caught the Packers off guard. Are you really thinking they're going to throw a screen to Cunningham in that situation? And they do, and he showed you his ability until he, you know, made the mistake of trying to reach for the pylon and fumbling. But so I actually thought I liked that play call, and I earlier I said I liked the play call to Adam Shaheen, which was clearly designed, you know, a roll out to try to sneak him out there and catch the Packers off guard, and then get him in space where he actually has the ability to run with the football, and they just haven't, you know, they hadn't done that. So I thought that was a great play call. But then where was it the rest of the game? I go back to what I was talking about with Tariq Cohen. He's only on the field for 13 plays, but so many of those plays they're running him behind the line of scrimmage, basically trying to catch the eyes of the linebacker like they're going to, actually hand them the ball on the reverse, but they never actually did. So it's, what are you trying to set up there? You just can't do that all game if you're not going to actually give him the ball. That was mind-boggling to me.
My last question for you tonight just has to do with John Fox. From your vantage point, watching how Chicago reacted to him yesterday, I mean, is this curtains for him? Do you think does he get fired after the season, or is it possible that he gets fired before the season? Or is this the coach they think is going to take him to the next level?
Well, I said going into this game that I thought it was the most important game of his tenure. I thought that, you know, if you had asked me this question yesterday morning, I would have said, hey, look, there's more evidence than not, at least just in this season, that you should probably keep him around. But you have to beat the Packers, and you have to just take advantage of a home game against a vulnerable team that you should beat and get the job done. And not only did they not do that, but it was a complete disaster from pregame decisions with the game plan to in-game decisions to the awful challenge, which is going to go down as, you know, one of the worst moments in John Fox's entire coaching career. It was just the worst case scenario for him. And so I think now looking at this, you hate to put so much in one game, but honestly, it's an important game against the Packers and one you should have won and one that basically ended your season because now you're 3-6. He has a lot to overcome in these last seven games, and I just do not see a scenario where he does enough in the seven games to save his job, especially when you factor in what we were just talking about with the quarterback and his progress. That is the most important thing for this entire franchise right now, and they have to have the right guy in place. So to get to the second part of your question, I would be shocked if they made the move in season because that's just so anti-Chicago Bears. It's not what the McCaskey family does. But, however, if Ryan Pace does have full control of this thing and this continues for the next couple games where Trubisky it looks to still have this potential, but it's not being utilized and you can clearly blame the coaching staff, I'm not against making the decision to just say, hey, Vic, you take this thing over and maybe Dow Loggins is being held back here. Maybe he wants to open it up more than he's being allowed to. Mm. And if that's the case, then I can see a scenario where it's at least the right decision to get rid of Fox in the middle of the year. Again, I would be shocked if that actually happens, though, just because it's not what the Bears do.
Adam Hoge, once again, great to talk with you. And check out the piece as well, talking about the coaching decisions at WGNradio.com/Bears and all the fine work you do all week covering this team. Adam, thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Justin.